Hello and welcome to the Climbing Arborist podcast. My name is Dan Holliday and thank you so much for tuning in. On this episode of the podcast, I'm going to talk about a job that I had that seemed really easy. Once I got there, then I realised there was quite a lot of risks involved and unpredictable things that could go wrong. So I kind of explain as best I can to paint a really good picture so that you can understand the dilemmas that I went through and the moments that I felt uncomfortable and the things that I put in place to make sure that I wasn't making it making unsafe moves and unsafe decisions. So this really got me thinking and I felt like I should share this story with you all. Before I get started, I want to really thank Jobber because they've been a huge supporter of Climbing Arborist and everything we do. They are a CRM that I use to run my tree service business. It makes all the administrative tasks really easy. Things like quoting, invoicing, managing the crews, any administrative thing like collecting money, sending out automated reminders for quotes or for invoices and collecting payment, that kind of thing. Using a CRM is so valuable and it saves so much time. So the amount of money that you pay for the CRM, just it earns itself back in no time. So thank you so much, Jobber. If you want to try Jobber on a free trial and then get a discount, please go to climbingarborist.com and click the banner at the top of the page. So go to climbingarborist.com, click the Jobber banner at the top of the page, and you'll receive a free trial and then a discount once you go with any one of the Jobber plans. So the way this job went down, I was working for one of my friends, Ryan, who runs a landscaping company. Now, I've contracted for Ryan since I first started my business. His landscaping company takes on some tree work, and Ryan's really keen on the tree work side of things rather than the landscaping, so he kind of got into it quite a bit, but had a few injuries over the years, got some concussion, got something else, so hasn't been able to really climb himself. So basically contracts me in for any decent sized tree work that they get. Now this particular job was actually on Ryan's property that he just bought. So Ryan has like a bit of wild space to the side, a bit of like kind of a wooded area that's like sensitive nature area that they're not allowed to do anything with. But there was one dead alder tree and it had fallen into another alder tree. And so you could see that the second alder tree that was alive was leaning because of like the pressure that had been put on by the dead alder tree. But also alder trees often go on a lean, so it was like how much was that leaning already, and is it leaning more because the dead alder tree that kind of fell into it. So I hadn't seen the job because when I'm working for Ryan, he usually analyzes things and gives a really like good amount of time for any job I ever do. So it's always like pretty good when I get there. You know, you can assess the situation and it's never rushed because it's always well bid. So there's always a decent amount of time to get the job done. So I got there and I saw the dead tree that had fallen into the live tree. Now there was, because it was like, it's a bit of woodland, so you have like the understory, so that, you know, there's like old wild debris everywhere, twigs, foliage, leaves, stuff. And then I could see the root plate had lifted a little bit where the dead tree had fallen. So I imagine if you're saying your straight up tree is 90 degrees, the dead alder had maybe gone to, I don't know, 80, 75 degrees and then hit the other alder tree. So it hadn't moved, or I mean, it had moved at the top. Maybe it would have moved like 10, 15 feet over.
And it was, but with trees that have fallen or partially uprooted, that kind of thing, it's hard to know how much pressure and force they're putting on. Also, I was unable to ascertain, like, if there were still roots holding the tree or if all the roots were completely non-existent or completely mush. Like, who knows how long the tree had been dead for. So there was, like, there's a lot of unknown variables. And that comes to my first major point, really, is whenever you're dealing with failures, storm damage, snapped branches, partially failed trees, anything where there's, like, it's putting something under tension, it's very, very hard to figure out how much tension there is, how, like, at what angle do you, like, where does it want to pop out, like, where's it putting the pressure, where do you want to cut, like, if you start to cut and the pressure starts to release, are other branches, other limbs, other trees going to start, like, flinging back and in, you know, out of control? Like, it's very hard to predict, you know, in comparison to, like, taking a branch off a tree that you're pruning that's, like, that's in its natural form. When you're, like, rigging branches away, you know, you pretty much know how it's gonna kind of peel round, fold round, react under, like, rigging systems, all that kind of stuff. It's very predictable, but anything that's failed or partially failed or got hung up, it's very, very risky. So whenever it comes to doing storm damage, any kind of, like, cleaning up any kind of partially failed trees, you have to allow for like way more than you would ever allow for that same tree that has no, like, failures or partial failures. Like, it's a completely different ball game. You need to allow so much extra time to assess the situation, to take off very small pieces at a time, to work, to try and alleviate pressure, to set up rigging systems that you might then need to reassess and take down and set up in a different way, different format, tie up mechanical advantages to try and relieve pressure, tie up, like, multiple different rigging points to, like, hold, like, the tip end, the butt end, like, the middle section. Like, there's so much that you that could be required to do something safely. Yeah, it's crazy. So anyway, let me go back to the story. So I turn up, there's these two trees, and there's a few different trees around because it's, like, a bit of a wooded area, and there's a huge maple, but too far away to really get a tie-in that was going to be of any use. But then just kind of up the bank, what would be to my back left shoulder, was another older tree, and it had, like, quite a big union where then it separated into two stems. Yeah, that union was about maybe 40 feet, I would say. And then the two older trees that I was having to climb were about, to the very tips, probably about 70 feet. So I decided to put a tie-in in the older tree behind my left shoulder through that main safe union. So at least I had, like, a 40 foot tie-in. It was kind of to make me feel comfortable. And then it was just above, like, horizontal with the tie-in that the actual two trunks of the alders met, like, where the one had fallen into the other. So the live one was the one in front. The dead one had fallen into the live one, and the two trunks were crossing. There was a few branches below the point where they were crossing, and most of the kind of the dead branches and what would have been canopy was, like, above, so about 20 foot of that above. So I spurred up, with my tying behind me as well, stripped off the branches that I could, just started like just nibbling away at everything just to try and relieve any weight, like because anything that I removed weight wise was going to make me feel a little better as I got up there. And then I got to the point where the trunks crossed over, and I'd removed maybe 6-7 branches at that point. And I first got Ryan to tie on my a second lanyard, because I realized I had my time pump behind me, had my lanyard that I went, that I spurred up on, but then I needed to like put another lanyard to try and like almost like leapfrog the where the dead stem crossed the live stem, because I didn't want to lanyard onto the dead stem, because I didn't know how stable that was. I didn't know if it was solid and it wasn't going to move. I didn't know if any slight movement was just going to knock it free and like go fall into the ground. I had no idea how much it was being held up by the other tree, all these kind of questions. So I got to that point, got my second lanyard from Ryan, and then kind of leapfrogged the dead section. So I was kind of coming up, and the main stem that I was climbing was a bit to the left, and then where they crossed over, and then I switched, so I was then on the right of the dead stem and carried on going up. And then I got to that point, and I felt uncomfortable, because I'd got to the point where I could see the stems crossing, and I was like, man, this dead stem seems like it's putting a lot of weight on the live stem, and I don't really want to keep climbing, because it started to get, and I wasn't getting like super skinny at that point, but I still wanted to keep going and just like taking pieces off, because I didn't want to take the top out of the dead stem, because I didn't know if that was just going to catapult back. I didn't know if taking the top out would shift things. And I just sat on my spurs for like 5 minutes, just thinking, what is the best way? I thought, I can take the top out of the live piece, but then I don't know if that's going to catapult anything back. I just did not know where the pressure was. And I'm up there thinking, this looked like it was a super easy job from the ground. And then I get up there, and now I'm thinking, this is going to take way longer. And so I sat there for a bit longer, and I thought, but it's still not, if you put lots of different measures in place, is it going to take that much longer? And then this is how kind of worried and serious this got. I was sat there thinking, look, I'm in good health right now. I'm in a situation where nothing's gone wrong. I haven't made a cut that has catapulted a tree into me and taken me for a ride and sent me flying and sent me on the way to the ground. And like, I haven't. Like, there was all these things going through my mind that could happen. And I was just thinking, this is stupid. Like, why? And then so I was thought to myself, what can I do to make this safer? And the first thing I thought, if I got like a 5-to-1 onto the dead stem and tensioned that as hard as I possibly could, that's going to take however much tension I can add into that 5-to-1 system, like so tight around the dead piece, tension it as much as I can back, then that's going to relieve that much weight that I've managed to put into the 5-to-1 off the dead stem, which means I'll feel more comfortable spurring up above that point where they cross and continuing to go higher and higher and higher. Because I was thinking at that point, I don't know how much more force and stress the live tree can take. Is something just going to give at some point? Is that going to uproot? Is that going to, like, am I going to go flying with that? So I wanted to just to make it as safe as I could and for me to feel as safe as I could. You might also be thinking, well, why didn't you just fell them if it's like a woodland area? And I did actually, I thought about that a little bit more seriously once I'd spurred up the tree and got to the point where they were crossing and, you know, I had a bit of a stop and a think. Yeah, I thought about felling them, but then the potential for the unexpected in felling the trees because of the unknown pressure that the dead tree was having on the live tree, the fact that where I would be putting the face cut in and then putting the back cut in, the dead tree was directly behind and it was already leaning, who knows how much pressure it had. Also, you know, they're older trees, they're known for like barber chairing, the tree was dead, so is it gonna like break up into a bunch of pieces? And even if I can kind of run to the side, is something still gonna come down and hit me? I felt there was too many variables and risks in felling the tree than actually making it more secure through climbing and putting in like safety gaps as I went along and tried to like reduce the risk that way. So that's the reason why I didn't fell the trees. So yeah, I descended back down the tree. I got my whole 5-to-1 set up, got like a tagline. Oh no, sorry, I got Ryan to send up a tagline. So I tied that on round the dead tree. Then I went back down, we set up the 5-to-1. Me and Ryan tensioned it up as tight as we could possibly get it with both of us pulling on the 5-to-1. Then we locked it off. So then I headed back up the tree feeling quite a lot more safe in the fact that the live tree wasn't under so much stress anymore and under so much force from the dead tree. So then I kind of leapfrogged that section where they crossed again, carried on going, and I was just taking every little branch, every bit of weight as I possibly could. I climbed the alder higher than I would have climbed the alder normally if it hadn't been like under tension. Because I just wanted to take off little bits at a time. I didn't want to make any big cuts. I didn't want any big movements. And the more small branches I took off and the higher I got and the closer to the top I got and the closer to the top of the dead tree that I got, the more, it's strange, the more comfortable I felt, because I just felt like I was taking more force off, more weight off, more pressure off. So every little bit I went, even though obviously my body weight is adding a bit of force the higher I go, but I'm taking off branches, so probably counteracting that. And yeah, that every time I thought, oh, shall I try and take a top out now? I would sit there for a second and just think, man, like I still don't want any big movements. It's not worth it. It's not worth taking a bigger section just to save myself an extra 5 minutes. I've already gone back down and taken the time to set up like a 5-to-1. So I want to climb a bit higher, because also the dead tree, it was leaning on the live tree, but the tips of the dead tree were also just resting in like the huge maple that I said that was there. The very edge of the maple canopy came to the very tips of the dead alder canopy. So I was thinking, if I try and like take the top out of that, is it even going to go because the tips are there? Is it then going to kind of go and then flick back and land on my head? And I just kept going. I just kept thinking, look, today it's not worth taking anything even remotely big or remotely to so you get down quicker. This is all about tiny little steps, taking tiny pieces, being safe as you possibly can. So then I finally took a small top out of the dead piece, then took a small top out of the live piece just to try and minimize the movement. And then I felt, oh my God, I felt so much better after that. I felt so much more comfortable, safe, secure. Just solid on the spurs, on the stem. So I started to come down, just chugging them down, nice small pieces, not making any rash and big movements. But then once I got down to near the point where they crossed, like, then became a bit of a conundrum again. Like, I still don't know how much weight this is leaning. Has all the weight been relieved now, taking the top out, or are those roots completely snapped, severed, destroyed, mushy, and there's no roots holding it, and the tree still wants to fall? I had no idea. We still had the 5-1 on at this point. Luckily, where the dead stem was crossing the live stem, there was a couple of branches that had been going out either side that I'd kind of cut off to, leaving stubs just to kind of hold it in place. So at this point, they were kind of holding it secure. And so I got myself in a position, so I was still on the right-hand side of the dead piece. And my safety line was kind of going over the top of the dead piece, so if it fell, there was no issues there. So at this point, I thought, if I make a cut now, if I nibble it, so I want it to fall to the left side of the live stem, and that was going to be my plan. I just wanted it to fall. It was still on the 5-1, and I was thinking, do we keep it on the 5-1 and lower it down slowly, or is it going to be too heavy and it's just going to snap everything? So I decided, okay, if it starts to fall, there's nothing to break. It can just fall, and I'm going to make sure it goes to the left of the stem anyway by, like, removing the little peg and removing the last section where they cross into, basically to make it go to the left. And so I got Ryan to untie the locked off portion of the 5-1, but I said, okay, you hold this, and if when I make this cut you're still holding it, then we can lower it down, and then when you get to the end of the rope you can just let go. Or if it starts to just go, just let go and let the 5-1 just pull all the way through the pulleys and out it comes. Like, just take out the stopper knot out the end and just let it run. So I started to nibble away the little stub, and then kind of that was the last thing that was holding it. So I did like a little face in the stub that was holding it and just faced it round. And once Ryan had untied it where it was locked off, I just said, right, here we go. Like, hold it, but if it starts to go, just let go. And as soon as I touched behind where I'd done the little face on the stub, it just went. There was absolutely no roots holding that thing at all. It was completely failed and resting on that tree 100%. And it, like, man, the way that Ryan said he just had to let go straight away, he was on a 5-1, and that thing just poof, went down. Like it was a 5-ton of bricks, maybe. So the moral of the story is, when you're dealing with, like, failed trees and that kind of thing, that you cannot be rushing, you cannot think about it in the same way you think about a regular tree, a regular day's work, regular day's removal, regular day's pruning, because there is so much unpredictability in failed limbs fail, stems fail, trees, that it is not worth, it's not worth that extra bit of time that you might be trying to save by just plowing in there like a bull in a china shop. It's a whole different ball game, and the reason I'm saying this is because, you know, depending on where you live, might be different, but I come across like storm work once in a while. A lot of it I'm not interested in. A lot of it, you know, I'm booked up with work and I don't want to drop work to take on storm work, and a lot of the time I don't need it, and I'm not a company that wants to go out and try and make more money and milk it because it's storm work. Like, so I don't do that kind of thing very often. When it's clients that I work for, like on a regular basis, then I'll do it for them and they'll trust me and they'll wait for me to come and deal with like hazard trees, storm damage stuff. But because I don't do it all that often, it really came to me this time about how unpredictable it all is, and just how you need to be like 100% focused, 100% present. And if you're new to it, you need to have somebody there with you who is more experienced with storm work and can explain like the many more risks that you might be faced with, the amount of tension that things can be under that seem normal, and then you make one tiny cut and it's everything starts popping and coming swinging towards you. And there's so much pent up like potential force and potential energy ready to crack and go. You need to be so aware. So I think the key for me is just always take a couple of minutes, just stop doing everything, just take a couple of minutes, just evaluate the situation and just think about yourself and your own, like, this sounds a bit deep, but think about your own life. Is what I'm about to do, is it worth it? Am I being stupid to do something because I'm about to do the unknown, the unpredictable? Can I make the situation safer right now? And if you can make the situation safer, always take that step. Think about, I don't know, family you have, how the health that you're in right that second, the potential injuries and health that you could be in 2 minutes time if you make the wrong cut. Just think about all these things. Just catch yourself in a moment. Be present and focus and think about all those things before you make the decision about what you're going to do. And then decide, if you can, to put in more safety measures. Because on the whole, when I turned up, the job looked really simple. It looked like, yeah, man, we're going to be out of here in like an hour. And it was not the case. We had to put in safety measures, stop gaps, if that's the right terminology, just to make sure everything was safe. And then I still got down, and it was an early day, and everybody was happy, and everybody felt good, felt safe. You know, there was nothing to report. So yeah, there we go. Anyway, I hope you hope you enjoyed my little rant, my little speech about hazard work, safety work, storm work, failures. And I hope that was useful for some people, and I hope that might come as a reminder when you're about to make a cut that you maybe shouldn't make. So thanks a lot for watching, and as I said, I hope this helps some of you. Thanks a lot. All right, cheers, bye.